today we have a guest in the studio, Jane Jackson, career management and life coach and image consultant. Just give you a little introduction to Jane. 14 years ago, after becoming a career coach with much experience behind her and having gained many coaching certifications, Jane now runs her coaching and training business, Style Success. Jane's experience across the cultures with a Chinese mother and English father, and education and work and background in America, Asia, London and Sydney enables Jane to relate to those all from all walks of life and who are experiencing challenges in their personal lives. Jane's passion is to coach, to empower individuals to take charge of their lives, clearing the clutter in your head so you can identify your goals and then you can support yourself and set the steps and take the action to achieve these goals. Jane regularly blogs on her own career blog and is a guest blogger for Empower Magazine, Women's Network Australia and Westpac's Ruby Connection. And I greet Jane to the Steve-O Show and a very, very big good morning, Jane.
Good morning, Steve. It's great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, lovely to have you. And we've got lots to talk about now because with your experience in image and career and life coaching, we all need focus and direction, don't we, Jane?
Yes, that's right. Sometimes we just get a little bit confused as to what's the best thing for us. And most of the people that I work with are actually at a crossroad in their life or in their career. And they just need to clear that clutter in their head so that they can gain the clarity to move forward with confidence.
Right. And just to some of your background, Jane, how did you actually come into coaching? How did that path lead you to that?
Well, I've been coaching for the past 14 years. And prior to that, I had about 25 years of a number of different roles. I've had a lot of transitions in my life. Mm-hmm. And even though at the time, it seems a little bit eclectic, the way that I came to coaching, every role that I've had in the industries and the countries where I've worked have actually led me to becoming a more effective coach, mainly because I've had a number of personal transitions as well as professional transitions. And there were times when I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And if you set a plan and you work towards it and you know what that ultimate goal is, you can be successful.
That's right. Basically, all our life's past and experiences is all the university of life, isn't it? So have you always been confident in yourself? Did you have any transitional changes?
Oh, confidence. No, I had to build that for sure. When I was young, I was actually the shyest child you could ever meet. And I was the one who would be at the back of the classroom, never put my hand up. And I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but you know when you're feeling really anxious and very shy and you really don't want to draw attention to yourself, quite different from what I'm like now. I've done a complete about change. But when I was in school, if a teacher singled me out to ask me a question, I would go very red in the face. I'd feel my heart thumping. I would get this rushing in the ears and almost pass out. It was awful. And then I'd just say nothing. I was that shy that after, I'd say round about the age of 15, I thought this is really ridiculous because I've got to learn how to be a little bit more open. And I took a number of steps to actually improve in my confidence levels. And over the years, it's just built and built and built. And now it's very hard for people to get me to stop talking. So you'll have to rein me in, Steve, today.
Well, that's what we got you in for. And of course, all of us, even the super confidence around us and ourselves, we have experienced this sometimes, this shyness. And even people who are in public speaking, they can actually, or performers and entertainers, they can actually have a shy side. Mm-hmm. I even have a shy side. I take it out every day sometimes. But I think one of the questions that the listeners will be listening and thinking about is what is the difference between a coach, a consultant and a counsellor? And how do these people know what type of profession they need to help them with their life coaching, their career coaching, their image coaching?
That's a really interesting question because a lot of people don't know the difference between the three and they tend to mix it up and they're not even sure what it is that they want for themselves. So how about we take each one step at a time? As a counsellor, this is quite a general explanation, but as a counsellor, what they do is they try to understand what has happened in your life in the past. Mm-hmm. Why are you feeling insecure or angry or doubtful of yourself? Because we've all had experiences in our youth, in our childhood, in our marriages, in our relationships that could affect us. And what a counselor does is help us to make peace with our past so that we can enjoy our present. So really it's, okay, what's happened? How can you deal with it? How can you accept what's happened? And then now you can lead a happy life moving forward. Mm. But right now you can handle the experiences in your life. So really a counselor delves into what has brought you to where you are today and how can you accept it? Okay. So it's a little bit like therapy in a way, so that you can have a happy life now. With a consultant, it's a bit of a hierarchy in this relationship with the consultant and the client. And a consultant is someone who has an area of expertise and can tell you what you need to do. So it's a bit like having an IT consultant or a financial consultant or a career consultant. They will tell you, this is what you need to do to write a resume, or this is what you need to do with your technology in order for it to work. So basically, they're imparting knowledge to you, and you learn from it, and it's great. They kind of fix it for you. Whereas with a coach, what we do is there's no hierarchy in the relationship. It's just you and your client, and it's equal, because every coach considers that their client has all of their natural resources to be the best person that they could possibly be.
And sometimes untapped.
Oh, yeah, untapped. They have no idea that, oh, you know, there's so much power within me, and there actually is confidence within me, because stuff has happened in our lives and it does affect us. But what a coach does is it takes you from A to B, right? So I'm a coach. I look at your present state, what's going on in your life right now, and how you became the way you are is not actually my concern. I understand and I empathize. However, I'm not going to fix what's happened in the past. What I'm going to do is say to you, okay, Steve, you're here now. Where do you want to be in 2, 3, 5, 10 years' time? Is that the goal? And some people don't know what their goal is, so that's why coaching's so interesting. You draw it out of them. And then once we set the goal and you get that clarity as to, this is what I really want to be in the future. This is who I am. This is the essence of me. Then what we do is we build on your self-confidence and set the steps so that you can achieve that. And after every coaching session, basically we pull everything apart in your head and then set some actions that you hold yourself accountable for. I support and guide you along the way. And then you action those items. And each week or each month or step by step, sometimes it's really quick, sometimes it takes a little bit longer, you get closer to where you desire your life to be heading. And that way you gain the clarity, the confidence, and the conviction to create the life of comfort and really contentment that you hope for.
It's really actually giving your whole profile like a refurb, a sort of you're decluttering, you're destructuring, and actually focusing on the aspects of yourself which are strong, and that's what you're actually drawing out.
Yes.
So before we go to the music break, Jane, who benefits most from coaching?
Who benefits most? Ooh, everybody could do with coaching. Even I can benefit from coaching. Yeah. But it's usually if you're at a crossroad in your life and you're just not quite sure and maybe a little bit fearful to take that step because of that little self-limiting belief on your shoulder, you will benefit from coaching, because you'll gain, as I say, clarity. It's a word that I always bring up, because I clear the clutter in your head, give you clarity so you can make the decisions to move forward. You need to have that confidence to be able to take that first step. And sometimes it's hard to do it on your own. And what's wonderful is if you have a coach guiding you, we form a customized partnership that works for you, so that you know that any time that you're stuck, you can actually talk about it with someone who's not going to be judgmental, someone who's very, very supportive of what you want.
I think what the listeners need to know is, how can you help? What kind of things are you looking for the potential clients that you can help in the areas and expertise of coaching?
Well, usually when people contact me, it's because they're at a stage in their life where they're not quite sure which direction they should be taking. Before I take them on as a client, I need to find out a few things from them. And I normally give a 15 to 30 minute complimentary consultation over the phone. Some of the questions that I may ask them before taking them on as a client, because it's really important that we develop rapport. You can't work with a coach unless you trust them, there's a rapport with them, and you actually like them as well. So it's important just to have a no obligation conversation initially, get to know them a little bit. And some of the questions that I might ask during this time, and I tend to weave this into my coaching as well over time, is first of all, what are you hoping to gain from coaching?
The benefits.
Yeah, the benefits. Because some people don't really know. They think, oh, I need a coach, but they don't really know what it is that they want. And actually, before I go into all of these questions, when someone contacts me, they think they want one thing. But once I start to talk to them, I realize that it's not just that one thing. For example, there was one lady, she was running a pretty successful franchise, and she called me up and she was in tears because she said that she needed coaching. She wanted to sell her business. She'd had enough, and she just needed someone to sort of talk her through the process of selling this what sounded like a really successful business, which sounded a little bit odd. So as we started talking, during our conversation, I asked her a few questions, and I realized that it wasn't really that she wanted to sell the business and how to do it. It was really she had had enough. She was so stressed out to the max because she had staffing issues, she had time management issues, she wasn't spending enough time at home with her young son, she wasn't communicating so well with her husband because she was just stressed and very grumpy. And as we started talking, I said, you know what, what's the real issue here? Is it really that you want to sell your business? And then she burst into tears, as usually happens during our initial conversations, because people are quite emotional.
They're laying it all bare, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. And the good thing is when you're being coached, you know that everything you discuss is 100% confidential. It's very much a professional relationship. It's the coach, coachee, and what you discuss as an individual, it stays between the two of you. Now, for this one individual, she found out that it wasn't that she wanted to sell her business. It was because she was stressed. She was time poor. She was feeling guilty because she couldn't spend time with her son. She felt guilty because she was having frequent disagreements with her husband. And all it was because she was pulled in too many different directions. Mm. And so by the end of our 30-minute conversation, she realized, oh, there's a lot more than selling my business. And I said, okay, well,
absolutely.
Talk to a few other coaches, see who you feel most comfortable with, because that's really important as well. And if after talking to several coaches, you think, okay, well, I'd like to work with Jane, then great, give me a call back. And then let's enter into a coaching partnership to work together. And I had such an amazing journey with this lady. And in the end, she didn't sell her business. She managed to empower some of her staff members to take on more responsibility. So it's a little bit of business coaching coming into there. She learned how to say no to all the multiple demands because she was superwoman syndrome. And she ended up having more time with her son that she enjoyed. She didn't take on as much of the extra stuff that when you want to be a perfect mum, you just do so much, you know, for your family.
I think we all know people like that, whether they're friends or professionals, who do say yes to everything. They don't know how to say no, or politely say, I'll get back to you. And then they actually become under pressure. So really what you're covering is organisational change, obviously career management. And with this example, so you are helping the client to repolish a professional village, build a confidence, perhaps objectively look at the presentation skills which were affected by her personal life and her everything overpowering her. And also, as I recall, that you introduce as well in your coaching sessions business etiquette. Which comes along with image, because a lot of people get it right, but a lot of people get it wrong.
That's right. Now, what I try to do with my coaching is to take a really holistic approach. My key area of specialization is career management and career transition. So majority of my clients are going through a change in their career. So it could be people who are entering the workforce for the first time as a young graduate and a bit confused, and they haven't had enough maybe career advice in the past at school or at university. I also work with people who maybe they're young mums or middle-aged mums who want to return to the workforce, and perhaps they were confident before but they've lost confidence because they've been out of the workforce for a while and they're not quite sure how to write a resume, how to present themselves, how to interview.
These things are tremendously important, because in this day and age with the internet and social media, everything is changing so quickly that if you have been out, you've had a baby, or you've been out, you've been semi-retired and you come back, then all of a sudden everything has moved on.
Yeah, and they wonder, oh, what's it like in the real world now? And if you've been out of it for a little while, there are ways to write a resume so that it will be as effective as possible to capture the attention of the screener. A lot of people think, oh, when I'm writing a resume, I've got to put everything that I've ever done in my life into the resume. And it ends up being 4, 5, 10, 15 pages long. It's like a curriculum vitae, which is, you know, far too long in the corporate world. If they know how to streamline it so that the resume is a synopsis of your career highlights.
One page?
Two pages. Yeah, two, max 3 pages. That's enough in the corporate sector. Now, it's a little bit different if you're going for a role in the public sector or in scientific or the research area, because then they actually like a curriculum vitae, which is very, very long. A resume is a synopsis of your career highlights. In Australia, you'll notice that people say, oh, send us your CV or send us your resume. And people don't actually know the difference. When they say that, they actually mean resume. Should I tell you the difference between the two?
Tell the listeners.
Well, a curriculum vitae, if we're going to be really pedantic about it, and I am half English, so I get a bit sort of on my high horse about English sometimes. But
I couldn't possibly comment.
Oh, I apologise. Oh, gosh, we're both English heritage here.
Well, that's all right. I've got some Irish in the background as well. What we are going to.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Okay. Well, a curriculum vitae, it can be very, very long. Basically, if you're going for, say, a research and development role within a university, they'll probably want a curriculum vitae, which is very long. It's got everything you've ever done in your career, every paper you've written, every patent that you've had, every talk you've ever given, all of your qualifications, absolutely everything. However, if you're going for a role in the corporate sector, it is a synopsis of your career highlights. About 2 to 3 pages is good, because you're going to filter out what's not relevant to the screener. Okay, the person who's reading your resume or the hiring manager. So what you're going to keep in there is what is relevant for the role that you're going for.
And you also have to get the person's attention immediately.
Oh, absolutely.
You've got 1 minute. You've got want someone's attention for 1 minute. Mm-hmm. Really, so you've got to capture them, haven't you?
Yeah.
If you just tune in, we are talking with Jane Jackson, career management and life coach and image consultant. Well, after this next piece of music, we'll be coming back about, if you haven't got it or if you have got it, improving your LinkedIn profile. And we'll be talking about the tremendous giveaway that's coming from Jane Jackson. It's a $450 coaching session, care of Northside Radio and the Steve O Show. We are talking to Jane Jackson, career management, life coach and image consultant, and we are talking about the various degrees of your career. It could be on hold, you may want to change, you may be looking for a change in your life, and also improving your profile on the internet with such sites as LinkedIn. Thanks for coming on the show, Jane.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's great to be here, Steve.
That's great. Now, we've had a couple of calls in. One of the calls from our listeners, one on the Northern Beaches, was actually saying that they are actually, in inverted commas, in between jobs. So on the LinkedIn profile, which we're going to talk about now, you can explain to the listeners who don't know what LinkedIn is on the internet. When you do have a profile on LinkedIn, or you are going to have a profile on LinkedIn, and if you are one of these professionals that are in between roles, you've just taken a payoff, you've just taken some leave, you've taken a golden handshake, how do you best describe that on a resume and also on the LinkedIn profile, which we're going to talk about now?
Okay. Well, majority of my clients that I work with are in transition, in between roles, and it could be because either they've decided to leave a role of their own volition, or else there's been a restructure or downsizing and therefore a redundancy, and then they need to rethink, what am I going to do with the rest of my career? And so in order to be able to market themselves effectively, first of all, even before you start to create your resume or a LinkedIn profile, you have to decide, what is it that I really want to do moving forward? Is it same job, same industry, similar role, similar industry, or do I want to do something completely different? Okay. Once we've gone through some discussion to find out what it is that makes you tick, what are your transferable skills if you're moving into a new area, or what are your key areas of competence? How are we going to get that into a resume, into a LinkedIn profile, so that it captures the reader's attention? And in order to do that, we don't want to be highlighting, I'm in transition. You want to be highlighting, I'm really good at this, that, or the other, okay? Because keywords are really, really important in a resume. Keywords are so important in your LinkedIn profile. Maybe before I talk about LinkedIn, I should just explain what it is. Some people might not know what LinkedIn is. Okay, LinkedIn.com is the world's fastest growing professional networking site. It's where you can actually have a look at what people do in their careers. People can upload their resumes onto it. It's an interactive social media site. It's not like Facebook. Facebook's very social. LinkedIn is totally professional. So you find a lot of people who are in a range of different industries who will have their profiles on LinkedIn.com. Currently, in Australia alone, as of January last year, there were over 4 million members on LinkedIn. Membership is free. You just set up a profile and you can put all of your information onto LinkedIn. For example, if you look for Jane Jackson Coach, you'll find me. I'm sure if we looked for Steve O Show or Steve O on LinkedIn, they will find you as well.
They will find me.
either your name is going to capture the attention or it's going to be your skills that capture the attention. So if you're an IT specialist or whether you're a real estate agent or whether you're a human resources manager, we got to make sure that the keywords that will make someone think, oh, you're a specialist in this area, are in your resume and also in your LinkedIn profile.
And of course, the other thing with LinkedIn as well is to be linked in with the people who are of benefit and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So you may have a friend and colleague who's in a totally different industry to you, and they may be a good friend, but actually as part of being in the LinkedIn profile and network, it's actually not really all that helpful to have someone in a completely different career. So keep it all connected.
Two schools of thought there.
Okay, that's all right. Okay.
Mainly because everybody that you know, even if they're in a different career altogether, they still have friends, uncles, aunts, sporting friends, as well as ex-colleagues, because they may have gone through a transition themselves, who they're linked into, who could be of benefit to you. The important thing is when you're connecting with other individuals on LinkedIn, you really should know them, have met them, because I wouldn't want you to just willy-nilly connect to anybody simply because they request to be a connection.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Yeah, it's really important to have like an actual relationship, a working relationship with the individual. I get a lot of requests to connect on LinkedIn, and if I don't know them, there's no compelling reason for us to connect. And then if someone said, oh, Jane, I see you're connected to so-and-so, can you introduce me? If I don't know them, how can I introduce them?
Yes, I agree.
Right? So you really do need to have a relationship, so manage that. Just going back to your caller who wanted to know about how to position himself on LinkedIn. Was that the question?
That's right, okay. Because he's in between jobs, basically.
Yeah, I get a lot of people asking, should I put looking for opportunities in my tagline on LinkedIn? You'll find if you actually go onto LinkedIn, you've got your name at the top, and underneath, by default, LinkedIn puts your most recent job title at such and such a company. But what you might want to do is to put, okay, say for me, I've got career coach, life coach, image coach, resume writer, corporate trainer. Yeah. So those are keywords that will capture your attention. Some people say, oh, Jane, I want to put in my tagline, looking for opportunities. But the thing is that looking for opportunities is not going to be something that people are going to be keying in when they're looking for someone. They're going to be looking for a finance manager. They're going to be looking for a software solutions architect. So we need to have those keywords underneath your tagline. There's something you can do on LinkedIn if you want to pay for it, and you don't need to pay on LinkedIn because they've got fantastic functionality for you to be found without paying a cent. Mm-hmm. But if you really need to get a job quickly and you want to turn up in keyword searches more readily, you can pay just one grade up. It's only a few dollars every month to have a job seeker account. And that helps to push you up in the search ratings. But actually, if you use your LinkedIn profile correctly and you populate it with the keywords that will make you turn up in a search, then you don't have to pay a cent and it'll work very, very well for you.
And talking about keywords, and we're talking about just the sort of the generalized keywords, obviously positive, successful, develop, progressive, whatever. But what other words for the general feedback with the listeners? What kind of words would be good to introduce into a LinkedIn profile?
Okay.
Those keywords.
It depends on obviously what the role is and what the industry is. And let's take you for an example, Steve. Okay. You're a radio presenter. Mm-hmm. So what is important when choosing a good radio presenter? It will be someone who has excellent communication skills, also excellent interpersonal communication skills, which you have, by the way, because you've made me feel very comfortable today, so that's great.
Thank you.
You've also got to have maybe a strong network, a strong professional network. Mm-hmm. You'll need to have a solid grasp of general knowledge as well, because you're on the radio and you'll be talking about lots of different things. So they may be key elements when someone, say if they want to hire you for their station, then it could be, okay, does he have good communication skills? Does he have excellent interpersonal communication skills? Is he well connected? Does he understand what's going on around, you know, in the world with regard to, you know, the latest news stories, etc., and also your past experience? So those are things that you need to weave into it, because you need to have the soft skills as well as the professional capabilities. Mm. For example, if you think my target audience is looking for someone who is who has got the qualification CPA or CA, or someone who's got advanced Excel.
Okay.
Or it could be, you know, for example, a PhD if they're studying, or if they want someone who's got an MBA, or maybe they want someone who's got a driving license, because that's part of what they need to do in their role as well. Those are keywords too that we should put in there, because that's what they're looking for. If they want someone who has got advanced Excel skills, someone who has got excellent negotiation skills or influencing skills, because that's the type of role that they're going for, then let's weave that into your profile, your summary in your resume, and also in the summary in your LinkedIn profile.
And a lot of it, Jane, is common sense at the end of the day, but this is why in this busy, busy world, this is where we need professionals such as yourself. For the people who are all up today with the internet, your coaching is via Skype, telephone, or FaceTime as well.
That's right. Well, they're from all over Australia, and maybe even overseas as well. So it's either telephone coaching, Skype coaching, FaceTime, and working virtually makes it so easy for my clients, because they don't need to travel, no need to worry about parking, and we can really work any time of the day.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, we've been talking with Jane Jackson, career management and life coach and image consultant. Business is called stylesuccess.biz, and you can also contact Jane through LinkedIn.
At LinkedIn, or else you can email me at jane@stylesuccess.biz.
Well, thanks very much, Jane. And no doubt we'll have you in the studio again to talk about the wonderful world of communication and how to improve your life in coaching.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for having me, Steve.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.